Love this podcast? Support this show through the supporter feature from Acast. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
This episode of Creative Control is brought to you by Colin Medley, Todd Jefferson, Andrew Townsend, Emily Blades, J.D., Sean Birch, Michael Cole, Andrew Hood, Andrew Stratus, John Hurst, Scott Brown, Carly, Steve Holub, Matt, Mike, Paul Ferraro, Samir Khan, You've Changed Records, Matt Charlton, Mitch McGoey, Cheryl Ruddick, Sean Michaels, Gary Benfold, Rob Benvey, Stephen Clarkson, Mark Gillis, Adam Medley, Josh Newman, Thomas Kilgore, William Clandenig, Robert Raitt, Michelle, Todd, Will, Chris, Itor Imaz, John Law, T. Decker, Jake Waters, and Henry Toft. These are all people that have pledged to this show's Patreon page. They've pledged little bits of money. Some of them have pledged lots of money. Thank you. A month to keep this show going. And as you may have heard, I've set a deadline. If we can't get this show up to $500 a month on its Patreon page by the end of August 2015, the show is no more. And we are currently sitting at $193, thanks to the generosity of loyal listeners like the people I just mentioned. If you would like to contribute to this show's Patreon page and keep it going beyond the end of August 2015, please go to patreon.com/creativecontrol or visit my website, vishkana.com, for more information about how you can do it. And by the way, I just got off the horn with some people that want to design some t-shirts, and I am going to send virtually everyone that I just mentioned gets a t-shirt. Well, maybe not the people pledging $2.34. That just seems mean. But everyone else pretty much gets a t-shirt, and you can see the milestone levels if you want to get yourself a t-shirt. I'm excited about the designs that I think are coming soon. So once again, patreon.com/creativecontrol, vishkana.com for more information if you can't figure that out. And I hope you keep the show going. I want to keep the show going. Let's keep the show going.
Creative Control with Vish Khanna.
On the program today, Tara Lightfoot from Hamilton, Ontario, a very gifted young singer and songwriter. And as it turns out, I've known Tara a little while. We don't really know each other, but we've had encounters sporadically over the years from when she was a younger kid. We have like a mutual friend, my friend Cheryl. Is Tara, she's related to Tara. You're going to find out about that on the show. And when I met Tara for the first time, I had no idea she had any musical interest or talent other than we were going to see a show. You'll hear about that too. The show is interesting. We got in Tara's borrowed pickup truck and we drove around Hamilton a little bit before we ended up at a restaurant. And then we had a chat over dinner and we talked about her new album, Every Time My Mind Runs Wild, which is out now via Sonic Onion. And you can learn more about it at soniconion.com. And she's playing the Hillside Festival this July in Guelph, which is just north of Hamilton. She's also playing all across Canada, really, the whole thing throughout this summer, July and August in particular. And in September, she's playing City Folk somewhere as well. Anyway, she's doing lots of stuff, very talented and interesting. So this is myself and Tara Lightfoot And we'll get to the bottom of that whole Lightfoot thing, too, as a matter of fact, on the show. So enjoy myself, Tara Lightfoot. This week, the Bookshelf Cinema is screening While We're Young, I'll See You in My Dreams, Back to the Future 2, Woman in Gold, Welcome to Me, and more. In the bookstore this week, at 11 a.m. on Friday, June 26th, Tiffany Lazik reads from her new book, The Great Work. And on Sunday, June 28th at 1 p.m., author Shawi Yazdanian reads from Loopholes, and Danila Bota reads from Too Much on the Inside. As for music in the E-Bar, Blake Preston and Fitness Club Fiasco play on Friday, June 26th. The Bookshelf is an independently owned cultural hub located at 41 Quebec Street in Guelph. For more information about their hours, listings, blogs, and accessibility, please visit bookshelf.ca.
The 32nd Annual Hillside Festival takes place July 24th, 25th, and 26th at Guelph Lake, rain or shine, featuring performances by Astral Swans, Bad Bad Not Good, Badminton Racket, Baskery, Battle of Santiago, Braids, The Brothers Landreth, Bulgarian Voices Trio, By Divine Right, Tim Chasen, Nels Klein Singers, Constantines, Nick Crane, Alex Cuba, Daka Braka, Del Bell, Daldrums, Echo Deck, Darren Edens, Eloquent, Etiquette, Everlovin' Jug Band, Nick Ferrio, Jeremy Fisher, Frazee Four, David Franci, Michael Franti and Spearhead, Galacticats, The Good Lovelies, Great Lakes Swimmers, Ash Grunwald, Alana Gurr and The Greatest State, Hungai, The Henrys, Suzanne Jarvie, Mo Kenny, The Cramdens, Daniel Lanois, Last X, Lee Ree, Libs, Look Vibrant, Lelut, Minotaurs, Moonface, The Once, Nancy Pants, Doug Paisley, Fred Penner, Perch Creek, Poor Man's Whiskey, Natalie Prass, The Spring Standard, Jamie Stone's Lomax Project, Sultans of String, Tommy Crest, Team, Thus Owl, Tribecistan, Riley Walker, The Weather Station, Jason Wilson and Pee Wee Ellis, and more to be announced. For more information about purchasing tickets to this accessible event, please visit hillsidefestival.ca.
Is this a Silverado?
It's a Silverado.
And whose is it?
It belongs to Sonic Onion.
Your record label?
My record label.
They gave you a truck? Is this like a signing bonus?
I feel like it's a signing bonus. I'm moving right now.
Oh.
And I've just been parking it right by my house conveniently and not giving them the key back. So.
That works out pretty well for you.
It's working out great.
So this is your new house?
This is my new house.
The first time homeowner?
First time homeowner.
How's it feeling?
It feels amazing and very stressful.
Yeah, it is. That's how it feels the whole time. That never goes away.
I feel like it must be like having a child or something in some similar way. You're very tired but very happy.
Yeah, you've had landlords before.
I've had landlords.
And when there's an issue, they come and fix the stuff.
They sometimes come and
fix
it.
Yeah, they don't always come and fix it. Yeah, yeah, I've had... you're your own landlord now.
Oh.
So
Thank you, Vish, for reminding me.
We have a thing right now where our kitchen smells like dead mice.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't figure out where it's coming from. It's been 4 days.
Wow.
And it's putrid. Like, I don't feel like being in my kitchen at all.
Yeah.
And I don't feel like boring holes into the wall and the floor to figure out where it is yet. Like, I just haven't got to that stage.
Is that what you have to do?
Supposedly, you got to use your nose, sniff it out.
Ugh.
It's disgusting.
I need a drill.
You're a homeowner. Anyway, it's going to be fine. Your house is going to be fine. What is this area we're in?
We are right by the bay, actually. If you look that way.
Oh, the water.
Yeah, the water.
I thought you meant the Canadian clothing retailer at the bay.
No, no.
Because I need a new collared shirt.
Do you see that blue thing there? That's a ship.
Yeah, I've actually been. That's the waterfront?
Yeah.
What's it called? The park?
Well, there's the HMCS Haida, which is the Hamilton. I don't know. It's some kind of giant boat that you can take a tour of. I've never done it. And then there's the weird armory there. The green army trucks.
Right. The weird armory. Is there like a more legit armory?
There is on James Street North. There is.
This one's the weird one.
Yeah. And there's also, if you just walk down this trail through this park here, there's a big, what used to be like a structure to hold, I don't know, it's like a giant steel warehouse.
Uh-huh.
But they've put up plywood, like just slabs of plywood that kids' schools painted with different images of the bay. So that's like my morning jog.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, around this weird shipping container looking building.
You're right across the street from a factory and a baseball diamond.
Well, this, yeah, that is going to be the Collective Arts Brewery. So call me if you want to hang out.
Oh, nice. Do you have anything to do with them?
No.
Do you work? No, okay.
I wish I did. So this used to be the old Lakeport Brewery. And then this here is an arena.
Oh, it's an arena. Oh, it looks like a factory. Okay, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, and then we've got the park, and apparently there's a lot of baseball and soccer happening here all the time. And there's a splash pad. And I don't have children, so...
Do you want children?
Yeah, I think I do.
Okay, so
this could be cool.
You're situated right now.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, some of these electrical wires scare me a little bit.
Really? They're not good for kids?
I don't know if I'd want to live in a... Well, I shouldn't disparage your new home, your new neighborhood.
I have a 5-year plan, man.
Yeah, no. Yeah, this is your first house. You could live anywhere.
I could live anywhere.
Okay. So you and I are going to go somewhere in Hamilton to eat. Where are we going?
We're going to go to Yaman, Caribbean food.
Yaman? That sounds positive.
Yeah. Yaman.
Okay. Caribbean.
Yaman.
It's Caribbean food?
Yeah.
And you go there all the time?
Maybe they're from Trinidad. I think they are, but we'll find out. The girl's name there is Rita.
Okay. Rita?
Yeah.
Okay.
We're going to meet Rita.
I'm going to...
Do you want to take this?
Yeah, I'm going to take your microphone. I might point it at you while you're driving. It's very safe. Don't worry. What is it? It's a Silverado. I don't think I've ever driven in one of these before. Are you insured to drive this thing?
Yes.
Okay. Is my car safe out here?
Oh, yes.
I gotta put my seatbelt on. Am I safe?
You're gonna be safe. If you need like a winch, like a strap.
A winch?
Or whatever. What are those called?
I think it's called a winch.
Yeah.
Last time I did a drive and talk, I think I only used one microphone, so this is interesting for me.
I could hold the other one, but I feel that's...
No. Hands-free. We have a thing in Ontario, we have to be hands-free.
I know.
Just pay attention to the road, forget there's a microphone in front of your face.
Okay.
And we'll go. So we're just passing Eastwood Variety.
Yep.
Do you ever play the lotto there?
I don't often play the lotto, I'm going to be honest.
So you don't go in there asking if... No one asks you if you feel lucky?
There's not a lot of... I think actually this might be a pretty lucky neighborhood. I feel like because it's windier down here. So I think maybe a lot of people are playing lotto. I don't know.
Okay.
There's also a bank if you wanted to cash in your weddings right up here. Winnings, rather. Not
my weddings? If I want to cash in my...
I'm thinking about weddings right now. My friend got married on the weekend. Do you know Kaylee from The Pining?
Yes, I do know Kaylee
from
The Pining.
Yes, Kaylee got married on the weekend.
Oh, great.
Yeah, so... but anyway, yeah, there's a bank up here. I actually started going to this bank before I moved into this neighborhood, and this is my home branch.
Oh, wow.
Isn't that weird?
It's like a homing beacon.
I don't know. I just really want... I liked Scotiabank. I switched to them, and then this is the branch that I selected because it's close to the water, and then now I've moved down here. I feel like I made the right decision.
Yeah, I think so, too. Being close to the water must be fun. I just had Lee Reed on this show. Do you know Lee Reed?
Yes.
You know Lee? Do you know him?
Yeah, I love Lee. He's the best. We share the same... housing of our rehearsal space.
Oh, okay. So yeah. Lee was on and we were talking a lot about Hamilton and how it's changing a little bit, and some of it seems to be not necessarily for the better. Whoa, this plaza is not... Oh, they're redoing it, I guess.
Check out the end. That's Granddad's Donuts, where all the insulation is.
Uh-huh.
Granddad's used to have 5 locations, and they have... I don't really eat donuts, But apparently they have the best donuts, like better than any donut you've
ever
had.
Is it open right now, though?
It's open.
Oh, will it be open when we're done this?
Yeah.
I'm like donuts? I'm a sucker for a good donut.
Yeah, so we can go there.
They don't make them the way they used to. That's why they're not good anymore. They used to be good. Like, you probably had, if you're younger than me, you probably went to, like, a Tim Hortons and had a donut or some other chain, you know? And then, like, you know, at a chain, they're not that very, they're not good.
Yeah.
But if you go to someone who's sort of hand-making them or a home-making them in some way, nothing beats a donut.
I think that's what's happening there, because I went in there yesterday. My brother was helping me paint my house, so I said, okay, I'm going to go get you some food. And I got him, like, a cinnamon roll, and it looked amazing.
What's the name of the place again?
Granddad's.
Granddad's Donuts?
And they have donut holes, because they can't call them Timbits, right?
No, a lot of people can't do that. I can't remember what the other companies do. They all give them a name. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But anyway, apparently it's a good donut. We're approaching the St. Hollywood here.
Oh, yeah, that's a great venue. I love it. It's my favorite venue in Hamilton. Do you like it?
It's also my favorite venue.
You don't have to say that just because I said it.
No, it is.
I'm a visitor.
It is, truly.
Best sound. I always find the sound really good in there. Like, as someone who's played there, I was amazed by the stage sound. I thought it was really great.
Yeah. So, it's Doug Smith behind the board. He's like, he's insane. And he's such a nice guy.
Yeah.
Regardless of who you are, if you come in from out of town, basically, if I hear that Doug's having a problem with a band, then I know to never... hang out
it's
with
probably
band.
The band's fault.
It's probably the band's fault because Doug is like just the nicest guy.
Right,
always.
Right.
Doesn't matter what's going on.
Well, do you feel good? How long have you lived in Hamilton?
I think since I was like 19. So that's going on 10 years because I'm turning 29. So
hey, happy birthday.
Thank you.
When's your birthday?
August.
Okay, that's premature.
I know. It's a little premature.
Okay, so you've been here a long time. That's good. What brought you here?
University. I went to McMaster.
Okay.
And and then I just decided to hang out. Actually, this is another crazy thing that's happening because I'm moving. But one of my first places in Hamilton, I got a plant from the Pepper Jack Cafe. Do you recall that place?
Yeah, I do.
So when they were...
you got a plant from them?
I got a plant from them. I got a yucca tree. Or yucca tree.
It was like a music venue / restaurant or something, wasn't it?
Yeah. So they were closing down, and I actually lived right up by this Coca-Cola sign on James.
Uh-huh.
And they were closing down, so Ken gave me a bunch of stuff for my apartment, and he gave me this tree, this yucca tree. And it's dying week. And it's been
because
alive
moved.
For 15 years.
Oh, no.
I don't know.
Yeah, the plants are very sensitive.
Well,
I've heard that.
But I didn't even move it yet. It's just dying in the kitchen. One of the things snapped off, and now it's happening.
Its heart's broken.
I think, but it's had two children since I've had it, like two new sprouts.
Oh.
So I'm just going to...
Keep it going?
But it's sort of symbolic, I think. I don't know what that means. It's a new chapter. My 15-year-old plant is dead. It's a good thing, I think. Regrowth.
Rebirth and regrowth. Okay, well, that's a nice way of looking at it.
You're thinking about dead mice in the kitchen walls.
I know. I've got the dead mice problem. Yeah, it's bad. I don't like it. All right, so you've been... Where are you from, though?
I'm from Waterdown. If we take Cannon that way for a while... Like 15 minutes.
Oh, Cannon Street West. We're just looking at a sign. Okay,
yeah.
Oh, it's near here.
It's near.
You're okay.
Yeah, it's like 15 minutes away. It's sort of on the way to Guelph. But actually, it's where Cheryl grew up.
Right, so we have a mutual, well, my friend Cheryl is your...
Cousin. Yeah.
And that's how we know each other, vaguely.
Yes.
Do you remember when we first met?
You know what? I don't. It might have been at that weird hall in Guelph. Maybe her 40th birthday party? Is that crazy?
That's possible. My recollection is that you and I met on a GO train.
Oh.
Going to see somebody play.
Really?
In Toronto, and I feel like it might have been Elvis Costello or
that's
something.
That's a way cooler story. I like
is it
that.
Is Weezer or what? Who
oh,
did you
Weezer.
Like?
Oh, I love Weezer.
Would you have liked Elvis Costello?
I also like Elvis Costello, but I don't think I ever went to see him.
Okay. I can't remember who I was.
I think it must have been Weezer.
What show
was it going with Cheryl?
I think so.
Yes, then totally.
I don't really remember why I would be going to see Weezer at that point in my life.
Yeah, I don't know. It was the Green Album.
Yeah. Oh, and was it a free show at the Ontario Place or something?
I think so, yeah. Well, yeah. It probably was free for you. I think we had to pay.
Oh, sorry. I didn't mean to rub it in your face there.
It's okay. I think
we're just passing the Sonic Onion building here.
Oh, yeah, here we are.
But are we near the... Oh, is this where we're stopping?
Nope.
Oh, sorry. I didn't know where
this... We're going to go downtown, but it's one way, so we have to do the one-way street
thing. Oh, okay, right. Hamilton is lousy with one-way streets.
You know what? I kind of like it. Oh, I thought that was Mark.
Mark
has the same car as that.
Mark Milne?
Yep.
From Sonic Onion?
Yeah. Did you go see them today?
No, I haven't gone to see them. Why would I go see them?
I don't know.
I just got here and got out of my car, and you were on your porch being like, hey, Vish.
Hey, what about Lee Reed, though? Did you see him today?
No, I didn't see Lee Reed. Lee Reed was on my show a while ago. Sorry, yeah, we were talking about Hamilton and gentrification and, economic disparity and people being displaced by what's happening downtown. Do you have a sense of your city in that way? Like, do you know what's going on?
I think so. I mean, the house that we just got was an incredible deal, considering. But I think that there's a lot of people that have already been displaced. Like years ago, when I moved on to James North, that apartment by the Coca-Cola sign.
Yeah.
It was $750. It was like, I think 1,000 or 1,500 square feet. It was 3 bedrooms. It was huge. And it was $750 a month. And I remember my neighbors owned a store on the bottom, and they lived on the top, June and Danny. And they were like the nicest old couple. Really, really chill, but they had lived on the street and owned that building for like 40 years, and they felt that like all this, you know, the art crawl and everything was encroaching upon.
Oh no,
in a nice way. Like, they were super nice to me. We were neighbors, but I think that they felt like pretty sort of hard done by. Like, it's harder to find a parking space for them, and June can't walk that well.
I see.
You know, there's a whole.
That's a flip side, because I've really been a champion and.
I think it's great.
I love that art crawl and the super crawl and all the crawling that goes on in the city.
Yeah.
People are crawling.
Yeah, yeah. It's just like, I think for some people that have owned businesses or like owned buildings for a long time, and then the area is being rejuvenated, but they're not feeling that they're benefiting, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
But I feel that way. In the Bayfront neighborhood where we moved, I think it's amazing. Like, you know, maybe 10 or 20 years ago, probably, it was a really rough neighborhood. And now I feel pretty safe there.
Oh, okay.
So, I mean, every city is different. Like, even when I lived in Toronto, it was, here we are at Yaman.
I'm totally disoriented.
It's okay.
Oh, yeah, Yaman. Oh, yeah, look at that. Cool.
And thank goodness we got an easy parking space for
this
the truck.
This was super, super easy. What street are we on?
King Street.
King Street, okay. I'm gonna take my seatbelt off. And we'll finish what we were talking about. Don't worry about the windows.
Yeah, I can. I'll just...
Is that okay?
Yeah.
All right. Don't forget your keys. Okay, you get one of the. Wait, which one do you want? You get this one.
This one?
Yeah, and I'll take that bag. You don't have to carry
Thank
that
you.
Bag. Thank you.
Now we're attached.
Are they going to be weirded out that we're talking?
I think it might be a little bit weird.
Normally, I brace people for this stuff, but.
I've only been in here once.
Oh, great.
She's going to think I'm weird now.
You're going to be that person. It's okay. This place seems nice. Yeah, man.
It smells delicious.
Caribbean cuisine. You eat here all the time?
Do you know Dave Young from Santa Cunha?
I don't think so.
He took me here last week and it was amazing.
Oh man, now if I do know him, he's going to be upset with me because I don't remember him.
It's
what
okay.
does he do there?
He's my publicist.
Oh, Dave Young. I don't think I've dealt with Dave. Hello.
Hi. How's it going? Sorry,
we're doing an interview as we're here. This is Tara Lightfoot. She's a musician from town. Do you know her?
Yeah, I
met
her already.
Yeah, with Deej. With Dave.
Yeah. Okay. So you know each
Rita.
Other.
Rita.
Right. Rita, you're Rita. Thanks, Rita. We're going to just order some food.
Yeah.
Do you have
any doubles? No doubles.
Only Friday and Saturday.
Okay.
Only Friday and Saturday. Mm-hmm. Okay, no doubles. What do you recommend something?
Choose something from the menu.
And just anything from the menu? I guess the menu is really the
that's the
curatorial recommendations list.
I have something for you and you probably won't like it, so we have a few
like,
pieces of stuff you can choose from it.
You have rotis though, right?
Yeah, we do.
I will just get a curry chickpea and potato roti. No, just, or do you have different kinds of hot sauce?
We have mild, medium, and hot.
Ah, medium. Medium would be great. That's what I'm getting. Should we have shared? Should we have ordered together?
Oh, no, it's fine.
Okay.
Do you want anything for you?
What am I going to get?
Get the huge.
Oh.
I don't know what that is.
The roti?
Yeah, it was delicious. I think I'm going to have eggplant and potato roti. Or you know what? Pumpkin.
Pumpkin.
With curry. Can you do curried pumpkin?
Could you?
No, it says non-curried.
Non-curried.
Pineapple curry pumpkin.
Okay. Okay, I'll just do the pumpkin roti then. That makes me happy.
Pumpkin roti, you want That's some it. Potato in it?
No, thanks. Yeah, love
okay.
it.
Okay, thanks, Rita.
Thank you.
Can we sit anywhere?
Yeah, you guys want to go over here?
No, we're going
to
eat here.
Are we?
Yeah, I think
we are.
So. Oh, do you want to
go? I guess we are. No, I'm fine.
Why don't we sit? We'll just sit.
Yeah, we can
talk.
Sit.
We'll sit and talk. Somewhere.
Sorry.
We just won't bother. Okay. It's all right. It's all right. It's fine. Thanks, Rita. Okay, where do you want to sit? Here?
Yeah.
All right. This is good. This is nice.
I've never actually been this far into the building before.
You just come and go? You just grab your stuff?
Yeah, you just come in the front window and you hang, and then you go.
Okay, I'm going to take this machine off of me.
Okay.
Maybe we can
Speaking of taking the machine off, I watched The Princess Bride last night.
What does that have to do with taking the machine off? I don't remember that. Is
Christopher
that
Guest character makes a machine which sucks out your life by the number of years.
Oh, that's right.
Yes, and they put the prince guy Wesley on it. Yeah.
I haven't seen Princess Bride. Was not a huge movie for me.
You know who showed it to me is Cheryl.
Cheryl,
when I was
see.
A kid.
I think it's very funny. I like it. I just don't remember stuff from it.
Yeah. No, it's kind of silly.
It's silly, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it was a little silly.
So you and I and Cheryl know each other, and we went to the show, as far as I know. And then next thing she's telling
me... Did you go to the show with us?
Yeah.
You didn't.
Did we go to Lick's Burgers or something?
Honestly, yes.
Now do you remember that? Yeah.
I was like, maybe...
You were a kid.
Yeah.
I can't remember how old you were.
I might have been like 17 or 18.
I feel like you
I had
younger.
No idea. Yeah, maybe younger.
Had no idea what?
I just didn't know that you were Vish.
Well, who am I? I'm nobody. I'm just Vish.
Well, you know.
Yeah, I'm a guy. I know. I remember this, though. I'm pretty sure it was you. I think you had a boyfriend maybe with you.
Oh, God. Probably. I'm also remembering, like, I didn't know that I met Michael Barclay.
Yeah.
I saw him playing Black Cabbage when I was 8 years old.
Wow.
That was my first show ever.
Wow.
Cheryl took me.
I didn't know
it
that.
Was like a Guelph book fair or something. And Gene Little was there signing books.
Wow.
8-year-old's dream. Also, there was a band, Black Cabbage, selling tapes. Tristan.
Yeah.
Michael.
That's right.
I forget who else was in the band.
So Tristan and Michael and I ended up playing in a band together called the Neutron Stars.
Yes.
And Cheryl would come and see us as well.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, we have this connection.
Yeah.
But you didn't even know it.
I didn't even know.
You didn't remember. I thought you would remember. I don't know why.
No, I'm just terrible. Well, I didn't even remember about Michael Barclay until Cheryl explained that to me recently.
He doesn't matter. No, I'm just kidding. No, it's a small world in this province, right?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know you. She told me you were a musician. I was like, oh yeah, I remember going to whatever. I don't remember the show, so don't feel bad. Mm-hmm. I don't even remember what band we saw. I think it was probably Weezer.
Yeah,
you were. Yeah, I think it was. You were an excited. They're a band that a kid like you would have been excited.
Oh yeah,
about. Yeah.
Oh
yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. So we go to the show, and then how did you start playing music?
Well, I started playing long before that. I started liking Weezer, I think. And
You were not in Weezer. You just said I started in
liking Weezer.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Can you imagine?
I thought you were like, I was in Weezer when I was 8.
Didn't Sheezer meet Weezer recently?
They did. The band, the cover band Sheezer from Toronto. How did it work? Robin Hatch plays keyboards in the band Our Lady Peace.
Yes.
And so they were playing a show with Weezer somewhere in Brantford or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So she figured out a way to get most of the rest of Sheezer in backstage, and they all got to hang out. It seems like at least they had a photo with Rivers and Brian from Weezer.
What a dream.
My understanding is that Rivers was always aware of them.
Yeah, I thought so too.
And sort of into it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, there you go. So, where were we? We were talking about, was Weezer one of your first bands that you liked?
Yeah, I think, grade 4, grade 5. I started listening to Pinkerton.
Nice. That's
how cool.
It's a dark record.
You know what? I got records from my older cousins, like Cheryl. My cousin Jessica gave me like a Green Day record, just weird,
yeah, whatever.
At the time it was weird compared to Robin, which is what my friends were into. So yeah, I don't know. And then after that I started playing guitar, played piano for a long time. And then I started playing in punk bands when I was a teenager.
Okay. What actually got you from the stage of listening to wanting to pick up instruments and play?
I started playing piano, like taking piano lessons as a 5-year-old.
Oh,
so
okay.
I was always into music, and my grandmother was into music. My Aunt Teresa, who I'm going to visit next week, has always been a guitar player, like a rock guitar player and country. She's cool. So I had a lot of great role models in my family. So it just seemed like a logical extension for me to pick up an instrument. And I had so much time on my hands, given that I was a child with no responsibilities, that I would come home after school, play guitar until I literally fell asleep, like every night, from probably age 12 until I was 16. So that's 4 years of, you know, that's crazy practicing that I did. So I know a lot of my friends picked up the guitar when they were 20 or 21. That was not the case for me. I've been working at it. I've been playing guitar for like 20 years, basically.
Now, as objective as you can be, because I've heard people say this, you're a very good guitar player, aren't you? You're a pretty good guitar player.
I think I'm okay.
Yeah. Do you have like...
I have a lot of... Like, I have so much to work on. Everybody does.
You're not like a open chord strumming kind of folk person. You can do leads and you can do it all, right?
Yeah.
You know the guitar.
I know about it. I know a little bit about it. I mean, a lot of my friends went to jazz school. As you get, you know, a lot of people that we know in the province or even in Canada, a lot of them are jazz trained.
Right.
And that's a whole thing that I'm not... That I'm not into.
Well, when you say you picked up piano and guitar, and there's a familial connection, did you ever take some kind of professional education with guitar? Like, did you get taught by somebody?
I took a couple of lessons, but it didn't really work. The guy was kind of, he would check faxes in the middle of our lesson because he owned the music store.
Oh.
So, and I was kind of impressionable, and he said he didn't want to learn Green Day songs because the guys were on speed or something, and it was...
Wow.
So
he was judgy.
He was a little judgy.
Right.
But as a kid, I just thought, okay, well, do it myself.
Right.
So I did.
And what drew you to punk?
Friends, you know, grade eight was a time of, you know, NoFX. I don't know.
Right,
lots of different bands. But I think I hung out with a lot of guys. Like, I was definitely the tomboy. Like, I would have everybody over to my house on the weekends, and the girls would be like, so what did everybody say? And I'd be like, well, I don't know, we didn't talk about that, you know.
Right
We just hung out and watched a South Park movie or something.
Do you think that Rita just turned the music up?
I think maybe.
What is this?
I don't know.
It's nice.
Yeah, it is.
I think it's gonna bleed through into the... I hope we don't get in trouble.
Oh,
usually I have to turn the music down. Were you shocked that I said we'd eat here? Did you want to go?
No.
Okay.
I don't care.
Everything's fine.
I'm happy.
Okay. So, do you remember what you mentioned? You were in punk bands.
Yeah.
What were they like?
Oh, they were bad. It was terrible. It was horrible. But it was also very empowering. Like, I got together. I was in a couple of different ones with all women. Like, all girls. I had a band with guys who kicked me out because I got a boyfriend and I played basketball. And they, you know, it was ridiculous. It's a whole thing.
Like,
I liked
teenage
being,
sexism or...
Yeah. Yes. Okay. Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, totally. So then when I was in a band with all girls, there was, you know, there were other challenges to that. But in general, it was like really empowering, like being in the Pining.
Yeah.
What I can't think of anything more just empowering. That's the word that I would use because, yeah, you're just getting together with your girlfriends and having fun.
When you say that they're playing in a band full of women as opposed to boys, presents its own set of challenges. What are some of those challenges?
Well, as a teenager, some of those challenges were... I mean, this is based on person to person. This has nothing to do with being a woman. But
I'm asking for your own.
Yeah.
I wasn't trying to get you to speak generally.
The drummer was consistently moody. Oh. So we would have to deal with, like, you know, a lot of, I don't want to have practice today, that kind of thing.
Oh,
but
I
that's
see.
Just a teenager thing.
Yeah.
And also just, you know, going to shows. I remember playing a ton. We played at the Masonic Lodge. And thank you, Rita.
Oh, thanks, Rita.
Thanks very much.
Butter. Have you done many interviews where you're kind of out in public? Like, I consider this to be an out in public interview.
Yeah. I think I do a lot of phoners, but I often do the phoners when I'm out.
Yeah.
So, like, I did one. I was driving home from the beach and had to get out of my car on, like, a busy country highway.
Oh, no.
Well, I tried to go on a side road, but it wasn't a side road because it was 5 p.m.
Right.
Anyway.
You're not uncomfortable by this.
Oh, no, I don't care.
Okay.
I was going to say, though, about the challenges of being an all-girl band. I mean, it was just every show that you go into, people are like, oh, why are you carrying your boyfriend's gear all the time?
Really?
As a teenager.
I don't know why I'm so astonished by this stuff. I've been hearing these stories more and more from people.
Well, I think it was Laura Barrett, or I forget who was playing a show recently. Maybe Hey Rosetta.
Uh-huh.
And somebody had written on a piece of tape at the backstage, girlfriend line, as in girlfriends do not cross this line, which is like, oh, what about the other partners?
For real?
Yeah. Happened. Show in Buffalo. This is like a week ago.
That was legit?
Legit.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you so much.
This is going to be great. Uh-huh. Roti. I should tell my wife I don't eat dinner. I'm not done. I just was like, I don't know. I was supposed to see you at lunch and I couldn't get out of work, so I apologize.
Sorry.
No, it's not your fault. I feel like this is going to be very hot. I'm not even going to open it.
Yeah.
Okay, so you have experienced your fair share of anachronistic... Again, I keep saying this. I think I sometimes when you live or try to live in a progressive state of mind, you forget that there's racism and sexism and whatever other ills. So has your experience changed much since... I mean, you're wiser and probably a bit more hardened. You know, you've experienced the world more, so maybe you're just like, you're aware of it as a thing.
Yeah.
Whereas probably as a kid, you were shocked by that kind of stuff.
I think...
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
I might have been more shocked and also more angry. Like, I know that the right... I also went to India for a while, which helped me kind of see what it's like. I don't know. In some ways, I was the other in a lot of ways because I was going into villages to do research at university.
Oh, is that why? Oh,
it was crazy. So being there and like being in a train station and everybody is looking at me for once, which was like, I understood. Well, I didn't understand, but... I don't know. It was crazy to be othered for once in a way like that. Whereas I'm used to being othered like at shows. It's like, is this your guitar? Or do you know about how to put strings on? Which I'm asked a lot. You know, it's kind of a tough.
Well, I was raised by two East Indian parents who are from there. I'm first generation Canadian. And we went to India in 1989. I was 12.
Mm-hmm.
And I was the other.
Like, yeah, exactly.
Wearing like... Joker Batman shirts, and they're all like almost every kid in the streets was wearing like the same thing.
Yeah.
Like
it was just
outfit.
Anybody who was Western was different.
Yeah. So it's weird.
But it was like so good for me to experience that and go, okay, this is how I need to look at the world now. And this is, you know, but I mean, in terms of like the sexism thing or whatever, it really stopped happening, to be quite honest. Like, you know, Max from Arkells, I played a show with him last Friday, and I never thought about, like, he asked me to do a song with him, and we didn't have time to rehearse it.
This was a solo show for Max?
Yeah.
Okay.
And a solo show for me.
Okay.
We didn't have time to rehearse the song. He has complete faith in me.
Yeah.
He did, and he says, no, just play guitar. It's going to be fine.
Yeah.
He trusts me.
Yeah.
And there's no, it's, in that way... Like that's when we're used to living in a progressive world where I'm not going to think that Max is going to ask me whether I know the song I know the chords.
You feel like we've all experienced a fair amount of enlightenment or there's like progress has been made or
I think just for most people who continue on in the professional world of music, they've never felt that way. Right. I mean, if I'm talking to somebody backstage at a show and they tell me, oh yeah, I really, you know, I just assume that they're good. I assume that they can play their instrument. I assume they're capable people. Yeah. I assume they're a great publicist. I assume they know a lot about music because I just do. I assume the best. And I think...
Whether they're a man or a woman or whoever.
Oh, it doesn't matter who they are.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it has a little bit to do with your outlook.
Yeah.
I think your perspective on life is a bit more hopeful than
I think so.
People's. Okay.
And I mean, it's honestly so rare that people do the whole, where's your boyfriend
line.
Yeah,
that's weird.
It is
That's
weird.
A terrible thing. That
it still happens. It happens generally with older white men.
Oh.
That it's like a whole... I don't know what it is. They're putting something onto me. I don't know what.
Have you had the satisfaction of then going on stage and then sort of blowing their mind?
I don't know if it's like blowing their mind, but afterward, they are still trying to kind of take over by saying, oh, well, you're very good. You're very good.
Right,
that kind of thing.
Judging you, right.
And it's like, I'm now approving you.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
That must
do you know what I mean?
It's awful. Yeah, I do know. I think I know what you mean, but I've never quite experienced that.
I actually ran into a guy today. I was getting a sandwich at Duarte's, which is a Hamilton institution. Not really good for vegetarians, so I didn't want to bring you.
Thank you.
But I ran into a guy there who came to that show
with
me and Max, and he was going on and on about how I was good. It was good to see me play, and I'm a good guitar player.
You felt a little like he was condescending to you?
I don't know. Maybe.
Okay.
You know?
I understand.
Anyway.
Yeah, it's weird.
Yeah.
So you're from Hamilton. There's a lyric on one of your songs from the new record where you talk about, you know, coming home to someone, walking down Wilson Street. You know that song?
Yeah.
What song is that?
Moonlight.
Moonlight. How important is it for you to sort of reflect? It's a passing reference. It's something... Mm-hmm. That you've drawn from, I assume, your personal life.
But mm-hmm.
How important is it for you to reflect your town in your work?
I think it really is. I tried to do that on a couple tunes. Emerald Eyes is another one where I talk about our fair steel town.
Yeah.
And also, I mean, I didn't say Blue Line Taxi, but that's our taxi company. And that's what I was definitely thinking about when I wrote the song. There's a line, you know, get in the taxi and drive around our fair steel town.
Right, right.
But I mean, it is important for me to locate the songs here. And even on my last record, there's songs with references to Hamilton. We have a giant, it's kind of weird, but a giant lit up cross on the mountain.
Yes, I've seen that.
It's weird. but there's a reference to that on the first record. And just like being here, I mean, it influences everything. Arkells, too. I mean, they write a lot about Hamilton. And even when you don't, even when it's not a very obvious reference... To us, it's enough that's where we're writing from.
I think a lot of artists try to tap into their community or their town.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like Hamilton is maybe on the other side of this now, but it's always growing up in this area. Like I grew up outside of this area, outside of the city, but there's a sense that Hamilton was a working class town and in that sense that it might be an underdog town.
Yeah.
Is that inherent there?
Well, actually, I was talking to somebody about this the other day about whether... outsiders' impressions of Hamilton is actually like a classist problem.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Because we were a working town.
This is a steel mill town. Like
yeah.
Steel. Is,
yeah,
is,
it was built on steel.
Right.
And there, well, actually we have a new saying, art is the new steel.
Hmm.
But, and it's in the same writing as Stelco. Like
right.
Somebody's, it's a pretty cool t-shirt, to be honest.
What was the Stelco motto was, our business, no, wait, what is it? Do you remember?
I don't remember.
Something about our people are steel or steel is our business. I can't remember what it is, but sorry, I had to break down and break open this roti.
Yeah, it's delicious. Mm. Well, it will be.
No, it's good.
Mm.
It is very good. This was a good call. Yeah, so it's a classist thing for people looking in, but do you feel like, I feel like in the last 10 years, all of the people I know in Toronto are like, yeah, I'm moving to Hamilton.
Yeah, everyone's here.
Yeah.
And some people are even moving to Dundas.
Right.
I forget, I think it's Casey from LA Brood.
Yeah.
He's moved here, and now he's moving to Dundas. It's like Hamilton got too big.
Right.
It's pretty funny.
What is that about? What's going on?
Oh, I just think that's the next logical step for him and his family.
No, not Casey. I mean, people coming here, like, do you understand what the appeal is?
I do. Yeah, I mean, I love it. It's like home ownership is a big thing, right?
Yeah,
we talked
about
that. And I mean, I have friends in Toronto who are paying like $2,000 for a two-bedroom place or even smaller, whatever. And then you come here and the rent is so cheap. It's sort of like southern Montreal.
Right, right.
In a way.
Right.
Except without all the architecture. We've gotten rid of a lot of buildings here that we shouldn't have.
Right, just for...
In a huge way. I don't know if Guelph is the same. I feel like it's not. I feel like Guelph sort of preserves heritage.
Our heritage buildings are mostly still intact,
We just knock them down as much as we can.
That's a shame.
It's kind of a shame. We still have some really great buildings, but a lot of them have been knocked down over the years.
It's too bad.
So some of the character of the city is being sacrificed to make space for all these people who want to live here.
Yeah, I mean, like, when you walk downtown, there's a sense of, like, some of these buildings are old and awesome, and some of them are taken care of, and others have, like, errant owners that are waiting to bust it down to build a parking lot.
Right.
Right? And we built a lot of parking lots downtown, too.
So does this kind of social, political stuff about the city enter into your work at all? Or do you, because I, correct me if I'm wrong, but, and I don't know if these are allegories or what, but you seem to write a lot about interpersonal stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You seem to be in the mold of writing love songs, maybe romance songs. Is that still your
deal? Yeah, I think sort of on that note, I mean, when I went to university, the reason why I went to India in the first place is because I was doing anthropology.
Mm-hmm.
So, which is a whole other hilarious time in my life, doing cultural anthropology. So I learned about ethnography, which is where you can do a very personal interview with somebody, and then you take what they're saying about, you know, for instance, I interviewed my grandmother.
Right.
To get a sense of her time and place, and she said some kind of things that were sort of telling. Like, they were farmers, so they actually had food during the Depression. So
then you
can place, like, the time and the space. And so, I mean, I try to interlace those things with this interpersonal love song, if that makes any kind of sense.
Is there some evidence of that in a song from the new record?
I don't know. I mean, I'd say just the two that we talked about. I'm trying to think. I don't know if there's any other Hamilton references. To be honest, I'm so terrible with remembering lyrics, and we haven't had a rehearsal in over a week.
when did you write these songs?
Probably like 2 years ago, I think.
Oh, so that must be weird.
Yeah, so it's... Well, it's... I always like to think about, like, bands like, you know, Neil Young or whatever, still playing Down by the River. He must... I don't know. It's a lot to play those songs over and over and over. Never Will, I think, which is a single I think I wrote 3 years ago.
Right.
So...
And this record came out in 2014?
No, this year.
This year, yeah.
In April. Right. I think a couple months ago.
And were you surprised by the reception to it?
Yeah, I really was.
What surprised you?
I think, like, CBC's involvement was huge. They really latched on. And a lot of amazing reviews from people that I really respect. Like, record reviewers that... I don't know. It was just really, really nice to get a positive response.
That means a lot.
It means a ton. And I think that I've always, like, you know, I've always liked Canadian music and watching, you know, indie artists or whatever. And I think that I'm slowly maybe becoming one of them.
Right.
Like, in this past year, I've worked a lot, but it's becoming, like, a viable option for me for employment and for, you know, playing and doing more festivals and just getting more recognition nationally and not just... in Hamilton.
Did it ever seem like it was going to be bleak? Like, did you ever lose hope?
I don't know. I think everybody struggles with that when you're in a profession in the arts.
Yeah.
It's easy. Basically, the people who are still artists are the ones who have talked themselves through it, right? Because you always have doubts. Everyone does.
There's not a lot of consistency in this life.
No.
The life you're leading.
No.
I mean,
you
could have a really good month.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm talking about financially or whatever, or attention wise whatever. I mean, how do you measure success? Is it money coming in? Is it that kind of stuff?
No, I think it's just all I want to do is just be working every day at music, and now that means a very different thing than it did 5 years ago. I thought it was really cool if I had the, you know, my days off, I would spend cooking, walking my dog, going for a bike ride, maybe having a drink with a friend. That was my normal, like, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, whatever. And now it's like I have 2 hours of doing emails in the morning, every single morning, like, actually rehearsing on my own. I have a rehearsal space. It's a lot of work.
Yeah.
And then rehearsing with the band and then, you know, doing stuff, interviews.
Right. This is time consuming.
It is.
I mean,
well,
you're getting
it's
a meal.
The best.
You're getting a meal out of it.
Yeah.
I mean, so far you've had a meal and we've had a conversation, and so far it's feeling pretty good. I was playing your record on my phone. Like, just I had my phone on in the kitchen where your record was living at the time. I think it was this morning.
Oh.
And last week I'd interviewed, last week for my show, I posted an interview with a guy, Will Curry from Waterloo. Mm-hmm. Anyway, my wife was kind of walking by, And she said, oh, is this the Will Curry record? I went, no, it's Tara Lightfoot. She went, oh, okay, sorry. And then I was thinking about your voice and how even when I first listened to this record, I thought that it had something of an androgynous quality to it.
Mm-hmm.
Can you talk about that? Have you gotten this before?
Well, I don't know. I think, Michael Barclay wrote about that. He said, I forget, there's a woman from the UK that has like the same kind of deal going on. Alison Moyet.
Okay.
Do you know her?
I don't think I do, no.
I don't notice how I sound, right? This is just me.
Yeah, sure.
But, for other people, I think it, because I maybe have a bassier voice than a lot of women.
Yeah.
But likewise, I mean, when I hear some guys on the radio, they could be androgynous too.
Right.
So, I don't know.
You don't play that up. You're not someone who's...
Oh, no.
No.
That's
this
not
is
my
the voice
bag.
You have.
This is the voice that I have.
Okay.
Yeah.
You don't have any kind of... There's no politics there.
I don't think so. I mean, I do a falsetto thing sometimes. But yeah, no, quite generally. Oh,
you're doing your thing.
I'm doing my thing.
Okay.
It's just me, man. I'm a natural.
And so we talked a little bit about some of the content of the record. Have you gotten the sense of... What's it been 2 years since you wrote these songs?
Yeah, about that.
Do you have a sense of what they captured about your life?
I think that this was sort of a... I mean, compared to my first record, I did it with... Do you know Pete Hall, the Northern Chorus?
Yeah.
So
I don't know him personally. Or we've met, I think. I don't think I know him super well.
Yeah.
I don't know him super well. But we definitely met.
Yeah.
Probably played some shows together, actually.
Yeah. Well, he had a huge influence on the first record, and it was a little, slower, more relaxed vibe. And really, not, I wasn't being pushed to do anything. Whereas with the producers, Gus and Werner... Werner really took me to guitar school.
This like, is the new record.
The new record.
Yeah, yeah.
Took me to school.
What do you mean?
Just like any part that I'd play, I would have to play it again and make sure every note was perfect.
Huh.
Where I thought that I had, I thought I had it down.
Was it frustrating?
In a great way. Like now I look at things as, I'm challenged at the same time I'm being supported, right?
Right.
So me having... Like having the challenge of having to make Werner happy also made me a way better guitar player. Like I've improved since last year and I was at a plateau sort of in my learning, I think. So
when you say you've improved, how does that manifest itself exactly? Like,
I think, if I played the same song for you a year ago, it probably not sound as great
sure.
as it does now.
That,
you know?
That easy.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's like a couple of cool licky, like main guitar parts
mm-hmm.
that like, what's the first song called?
All Alone.
That's got a very distinctive, cool way of coming into the song, and it sort of dictates the melody of your vocal later, too. And it's very cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
That's what I always do also, and I don't know if anybody knows this. I just write a guitar line and then sing over it, same melody,
right,
all
sure.
the time. That's just my whole bag.
So that's the secret to Tara Lightfoot.
That's the secret. If you want to play like me, you just play the melody on the guitar, play a bass note, you're done.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you mentioned on a skill level, on a player level, what this period or what the record sort of represents about you. What about lyrically?
Lyrically, I think it's a little more, maybe a little more grown up.
Yeah.
A little bit. Yeah. I mean, in some ways it's not also. I think I might have been cooler when I was 21.
Do you worry
honest.
About being cool?
No.
Because it is a poppier record. It's like,
yeah.
It's a bit more, it's an accessible, like some of these songs could be,
yeah.
I'd say a lot of these songs could be on the radio, so to speak.
Yeah.
Was that a conscious decision?
I don't
Going
think.
Going for it?
No. I mean, in certain ways, I mean, Never Will was one that had this catchy vibe. Like I really like Canned Heat and that kind of captured that Canned Heat vibe for me.
You a Kinks fan?
Yes.
There's a song that sounds a lot like Victoria.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I have to get it. Oh, look at it. I can't remember.
Here we go.
No, I'm just looking at my phone. You continue.
Are you going to do that CBC Radio 2 thing where they play the song and then they're like, you stole it?
No. Is that a thing? Is that a
I don't
show
know.
There?
I feel like it's a thing.
I didn't know that.
But they mostly do it with like Nickelback or something. I don't know.
Oh, no.
Probably
no.
not Nickelback. I have no idea.
I don't know what song it was. Maybe it is Never Will. Anyway, one of them reminds me of the Kinks in a good way, not in a bad way.
Thank you.
That you're a fan.
I like them.
Okay, you like them. All right. I just want to... I'm trying to accuse you. Do you like this song? Would you rip off this song that's playing right now?
Yeah, I already did. It's on the next record.
Is this Hot, Hot, Hot?
It's called Rita. Just kidding.
Rita seems nice. How is your roti, by the way?
It's amazing. It's not curry. Do you want to try some?
No, I'm good. I don't want to. I'm not really a
pumpkin.
Food. Don't call me pumpkin. No, I'm not really a food sampling guy. Plus, I'm a little ill. Still getting over a thing, and you've got a tour. I don't want you to mess, mess up. Anyway, sorry. What were we talking about? We were talking about something great. Lyrically, Rita. Grown up.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's a little more grown up, I think.
Yeah. Something happened?
Well, lots of things happen. Hmm. Yeah, you know, you just gain experience in being alive. I think that's
true.
It's really a thing.
Life happened? Is that what you're
saying?
Yeah,
yeah, totally. Hmm. Life happens. Yeah, and it just, you know, what's the saying? I don't know. Never mind. I was going to say something so cheesy. I'm not going to say it.
Now, you have been going through life with a fairly heavy surname, a last name that is really a big deal to Canadians because there's a very famous person associated with your name.
Yes.
And I'm talking about world-renowned tiptoe champion Jimmy Lightfoot.
Tiptoe
He is really well-respected.
Mm-hmm.
But there's also Gordon Lightfoot. Do you have any connection with Gordon Lightfoot?
Yeah, well, for the longest time I didn't, and it kind of bit me in the ass. In university, I handed in my midterm, and so many people have asked me, and remember, you know, my brother too, Tyler Lightfoot, everybody asks us if we're related.
Yeah.
Or any relation. There's a number of questions.
Sure,
associated.
Sure, sure. I don't mean to be one of these people.
No.
But some people listening will not know who you are. And
no, of course.
It is the light-footed elephant in the room.
Yeah. Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
And you're going to hell for that. That was the worst.
That was a bad joke?
That was a bad joke.
Sorry.
It's okay. I make them all the time.
You'd go to hell for bad jokes? What kind of town is this?
I'm kidding.
Anyway, sorry. Go ahead.
So I handed my midterm in university. It was like second year or something. Indigenous studies course, or I don't know. And the prof goes, oh, are you any relation? And I said, yeah, he's my great uncle.
You were lying?
Oh, I totally lied. I totally lied because I'm not related.
And
but I had been saying he's my great uncle for years because it made me laugh. A lot of people thought that
you
I was related.
Punking people?
Yeah. In a way that they would never actually find out. Because if they never saw me again, they'd just say, oh, I met Gordon Lightfoot's niece.
Oh, man.
Yeah. So anyway, I say yes. And he says, I am his number one biggest fan. I went to see him in 89 at this place. I saw him in 91 and blah, blah, blah. Goes on and on all the times he's seen Gordon Lightfoot play.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
Yes. And I ended up having this professor again and again and again and again every term and I'd answer a question in class and he'd be like, and how's your uncle doing? And I'd be like, oh my God, I don't know. I never fessed up. So I will never lie about being related to Gordon Lightfoot again.
This reminds me of the time that I had a kid in my class that I was TAing. I was a teaching assistant when I was doing my master's.
Mm-hmm.
And her last name was Bakula. And I said, as a joke, are you related to Scott Bakula? And she said, oh, yeah, he's my uncle. And I never bothered. I was just like, oh, that's really cool. Wow. I mean, not really. I didn't care. Whatever. Scott Bakula.
Yeah.
I would, you know, my notes on her essays would be like, a quantum leap forward. A minus.
No.
No, I didn't say that. I probably did. Who knows? I made a lot of jokes that weren't very good. But my point is, I never bothered to actually fact check that. She might have just had the same last name.
She probably just lied to you.
Like you.
Yeah.
This is a
I lied. If Brian Cummins is listening to this, he's going to be really mad.
Oh, he doesn't know? You never told him?
No, I never told him.
He's probably going to listen to this.
I think he probably knows, though.
Oh, okay.
He actually, that trip to India, because I was gone for 3 months, and I had to hand in a paper, and he would not let me submit electronically, even though I was in another country. I think he got mad at me in fourth year.
Think he found out?
I think he found out, and I think then he wouldn't let me submit an electronic paper.
India?
Yeah.
What do you want?
I was like, dude, I'm not even in the country. You know?
Well, you did lie.
I did lie. I lied about Gordon Lightfoot.
Yeah.
But now I played the Harvest Picnic 2 years ago. It's amazing.
Thanks, Rita.
Thank you.
Did you play with Gordon Lightfoot?
Mm-hmm.
Did you meet him?
Well, the first time, the Harvest Picnic, so I met him. And he's like, are we related? I was like, no. He's like, I just didn't know. I saw your name on the bill. I was like, no.
That's nice.
It was nice.
because he I interviewed him once, mm-hmm. and he was very cagey. He didn't want to talk.
Oh, really?
Well, his manager, who has passed away, like, I told the manager that I was working for a local paper, mm-hmm. and I was going to go see him in Brantford, and then I was going to go see him in Kitchener just to go, and they gave me free tickets, and I said I'd really like to interview him. And I was so persistent and persuasive, I suppose, that his manager's like, you know what? Gore's not doing a lot of press, but in Kitchener, he's going to be visiting with lots of family after the show. You go to the side stage doors there. They'll let you in. You wait and you corner him. His manager told me to bother Gordon Lightfoot.
And you did.
I did. I got like 20 minutes with him.
You did?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you said he didn't want to talk.
No, he was cagey. It took me a while to land him. I would say, hey, Mr. Lightfoot, I'm Vish. I'm from the paper. And he'd be like, oh, and then he'd sort of walk over to someone, and I heard him having a really remarkable conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Like, hey, Mr. Lightfoot, I'm Colin. I set up a show for you in 1958 in Kitchener.
Oh.
And he'd say like, oh, Colin, yeah. How's Timmy?
No.
And Colin would be like, oh, Timmy's all grown up now.
No.
It was weird. Like, he totally was engaged, and it was before he had he'd had a stomach aneurysm like a few months later, and mm-hmm. I felt like I was lucky to see the shows I saw and all that stuff.
Yeah.
But, he totally lucid, totally understood, totally, yeah. like, folksy, like, totally nice guy.
Yeah, he was like that the second time, which was at, I played a tribute to Sundown.
Oh, cool.
It was, like, the 40th anniversary of Sundown coming out.
The album.
The album.
Not the song.
No, not the song.
It wasn't just, like, 50 people playing Sundown.
That would be the best. I think we did.
All of you just played Sundown?
I feel like that might have happened. Maybe, no, I think Dan Romano did it.
Okay.
I was at the Harborfront in Toronto.
Nice.
And we all sat and chat, we all sat and listened to him, basically.
Right, right.
In the backstage, and it was so cool. Like, so many cool stories, and he was wearing amazing alligator boots. Like, just...
I think I saw photos of that on Dan Romano's Facebook page or something.
Yeah, it was next level.
Okay.
So...
All right, so no... Okay.
No relation.
Everything's cool.
Well, we're bros.
You're good.
I think the university guy, if he ever finds out it's me, he's going to change my grades in fourth year.
You can't do that. You've well graduated.
I don't know.
Can you? Is that retroactive? I don't think so.
I feel like you could. If you were mad enough that someone tricked you into thinking they were Gordon Lightfoot's niece. Great niece, excuse me.
Great niece.
Great niece, yeah. That's what I was playing. Well, wow. You know, it's the age difference.
Wow, good call for you.
Yeah, I used to be really sarcastic and mean.
I remember this from the GO Train trip we took.
Really?
Yeah.
Was I mean?
No, you weren't mean.
Oh, it's just sarcastic.
Mean. I'm also mean.
Oh.
Yeah.
I was probably a cool kid, you know? Cool.
You were cool. You were a little cool.
Too cool.
It was fine.
Yeah.
I was happy that you seemed excited about the show.
Oh, gosh.
What's coming up next for you?
Well, we're doing a bunch of festivals this summer.
Hillside festivals.
We're doing Hillside.
Have you been before?
I have never been. And Lee Reed tells me it's incredible.
Yeah, he's coming too. Are you going to cab up together?
I think we might cab.
All the way from Hamilton?
No, we're coming. I think we're coming from Edmonton or something that day.
Okay.
Because we're playing Folk on the Rocks in Yellowknife.
Oh, nice.
Which is, I've never been there either.
Yellowknife's great.
Yeah.
Mosquitoes the size of softballs. Yeah, I have.
I want to go to Newfoundland. You know about Newfoundland.
I know about Newfoundland. I've been to Newfoundland many times.
What's that festival?
Vanya Vanya. Do you want to play that thing?
I do.
All right, I'll put in a word.
Really?
I can probably make that happen.
I want to go to Newfoundland so bad.
It's great. St. John's is awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
But Yellowknife's great. And as I say, mosquitoes the size of softballs.
Oh, really?
And the sun doesn't go down. What are you playing in the summer?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be bright.
Yeah,
but
the whole time.
It's great, yeah.
One of my friend's cousins lives up there, and she's already messaging us asking to take us on a boat trip.
Oh, nice.
Which will be cool if it's always daytime.
That's weird. My cousin is up there. I went there for his wedding, yeah.
So it's your cousin then?
No, it's not. My cousin Nitin? Is your friend's friend?
What? Yeah, Nitin. I think that's him.
No.
Yeah, no. That's him.
Are you being sarcastic right now?
Yeah.
This is just like that Gordon Lightfoot thing. It's my cousin, Gordon Lightfoot. He's up there.
Yeah.
You got some festivals?
Yeah, and then we're going out to Burnaby Roots and Blues Festival, which... I think Lee Fields is playing.
Oh, nice.
Lee Fields and the Expressions.
Nice. That's great.
Which is crazy. And then we play the Pan Am closing ceremonies in Hamilton with the Boris Bratz Orchestra.
Oh, nice.
Which is crazy. We're having a rehearsal for that next week.
Do you have any personal political conflicts about the Pan Am Games? Some people seem to.
You know what? I don't really know anything other than on Barton Street, we're repainting faces of buildings. For the Pan Am.
That seems weird, doesn't it?
It's very weird. It's like putting a Band-Aid on a gaping like wound.
Oh, is that a bad stretch?
Oh, it's very silly. Why are we wasting paint on buildings that need to be inhabited by businesses?
Right.
Sorry.
It seems like there are silly. Some
that,
issues
there's
here.
My conflicted part. I actually didn't know that this is going to sound hilarious, but I'm so like media deprived that I had no idea that the Pan Am Games were based in Toronto. I thought they were in Hamilton.
What do you mean?
I just thought they were only in Hamilton.
I've heard from people from Toronto saying that they don't even, if you live there, you don't even, can't even tell. It's like they're not doing anything.
Yeah.
Except for like, they made the left hand
Are they
lane.
On right now?
No, they're starting soon.
Yeah. But I just thought it was taking place in the harbor. That's what I had heard about.
Yeah, that's weird.
Yeah. So, okay. What do I know? Well, do you have any political conflicts? Or
no, I'm fine.
You're
good.
Fine
the
with it.
The roti was good. Everything was fine.
No, but with the Pan Am.
Oh, no. I mean, I don't know enough about it. I feel like most of these things seem problematic on some level, but I can't make any educated proclamations about it. I haven't been following it.
Oh, okay.
But I do think that sometimes the Olympics seem a little more evil to me.
Yeah, especially with the last one.
Yes.
That was a little...
The Vancouver one?
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that and the Sochi, that was
that one was really bad.
Next level bad.
Yeah, there's some bad stuff. Maybe good fodder for your next batch of songs?
Yeah, I think... that's the other thing that I would like to mention is that my last record was all sad and, you know... This one was happy. I made a happy
record.
That's
what record. I mean. It was happy.
Finally.
Yeah.
I made a happy, fun record.
Yeah, I thought so. Yeah. I think so.
My uncle has always asked me, he says, when are you going to write a happy song? So I think he actually likes this record.
It's great. Yeah. Can we play a happy song from it?
Oh, gosh. I don't think so.
Why
could
not?
We?
Just tell me which
How?
One you want. I can play it.
Oh, you can play it.
Yeah, just tell me. Do you want? We'll go to a song.
What's the happiest? Home to You is the happiest one.
Home to You. Is that the one at Wilson Street?
No, it's a different one. It's like the soul tune.
Oh, yeah, right.
It's a ballad, but it's like the happiest love song you could ever write.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's why you want people to know you're happy.
Yeah. Okay. I'm very happy.
This is Home to You by Gordon Lightfoot's great-grandniece.
Great-grand, twice-removed niece.
Niece. Tara Lightfoot. Tara, thanks for bringing me to this place. Yeah, man, and... taking me around Hamilton.
Yeah, man.
I wish you the best of luck.
Thank you. You too.
Hey, thanks again for checking out Creative Control with Vish Khanna. You can email me about the show at creativecontrol933@gmail.com. That's creative with a K, control with a K, 933@gmail.com. You can also follow our Twitter at Vish Creative, VishKreative. And you can also like our Facebook page. A version of this show airs on CFRU in Guelph every Wednesday at noon Eastern. And you can listen to that online at CFRU.ca, or if you're in the KW region, at 93.3 FM in Guelph. You can also sign up for the weekly mailing list for the podcast and the show at vishkana.com, and subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. I believe that is everything I wanted to tell you. Thank you once again.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.